Artificial intelligence. It's a hot-button topic in nearly every industry, but when it comes to recruiting and staffing, it seems to be all anyone's talking about. How is it being used? How should it be used? What are the risks? And what are the benefits? The AI space has changed rapidly in just a few short years. It's time to reassess where we are and evaluate how organizations should be using AI, how they shouldn't be, and what the future looks like with AI in a world of recruitment process outsourcing, or RPO. I'm Joe McIntyre, host of Talking Talent Solutions, a DZ Connects podcast. Each episode of this podcast will highlight how customized talent solutions can help organizations across industries solve complex talent needs while helping decrease their costs and improve their business operations. On this episode, I'm joined by Mike Dockenhouse, Vice President of Digital Transformation at Yo. Mike is a recognized operational leader with experience building dynamic recruitment solutions and teams across multiple industry sectors. He specializes in recruitment technologies, recruitment process engineering, and sourcing methodologies. As a tech expert at Yo, I'm sure Mike will have plenty to say on the world of AI. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be with you.
I think we need to set the scene just a little bit on AI as it relates to the recruiting world. How long has artificial intelligence or something along those lines, what people consider it today, been in the world of recruiting?
Yeah, the reality is it comes down to how you define AI, right? The truth of the matter is there has been some form of AI in the business world and specifically in the recruiting world going all the way back to the late 80s, early 90s, right? The hubbub around AI of late really started to pop up in the last 8 to 10 years or so. And it started with predictive AI. And as of late, it has really transitioned into generative AI, right? So it's been here for a long time. I tease when I go to conferences, if I see AI as a part of any additional marketing collateral, I might pull my hair out. But it's been here for a while, and it's going to be here for a while for sure.
Is that different, I guess, between firms like Yo and DZ Connects and those on the actual, you know, side of companies who are looking for you guys for help? Have companies like you been involved with it more than companies who are just looking to hire folks?
Yeah, I think what we find is historically speaking, staffing companies and RPO companies specifically have been early adopters of technology. We've typically been on the cutting edge and ahead of the curve versus enterprise consumers. I would say there's been a little shift in that in the last probably 3 to 5 years or so as individuals who have had a legacy in RPO have left RPO to go into the customer environment and now are sitting in enterprise. So they're pushing the cusp a little bit more. I would say that some of the big technology providers have also brought solutions to the table that is closing that gap a little bit. But historically speaking, I would say staffing has been the proving ground for a lot of these emerging technologies. RPO has really been on the cutting edge historically of bringing it to market on an enterprise kind of scale, and enterprises traditionally have followed. Not to say that there's not some top performing, you know, in-house recruiting functions out there or professionals out there that have done a stellar job, but typically speaking, you know, it's been less digital capability on the enterprise side.
Got it. Yeah, I think we can probably all agree that every organization is at different points in their tech journeys, not just AI, but in their tech journeys. You mentioned a few, but can you give us a sense of how AI specifically is being used in the recruiting space? I think people think of looking at job requisites, making them, scanning candidates, but how else is it being used in the recruiting space?
Yeah, it really is being applied end to end within the life cycle of recruiting pretty consistently from firm to firm in some way, shape, or form. I think it started with kind of a combination of candidate matching, right? So matching candidates to job orders or in the world of programmatic job advertising, trying to take a lead from digital marketing and programmatically bidding and pay for performance sites. So there's been it's certainly lived in that realm. I said where it's starting to transition to is in content creation, right? So true generative AI, and it is resulting in a host of outcomes. I would say, some of the quick wins firms are experiencing are really more compelling job advertisements that they can create. I've seen recruiters being very effective at using ChatGPT to generate pre-screen and interview questions for roles and functions that they don't have depth of expertise in themselves. And certainly seeing some use by recruiters and talent acquisition leaders relative to creating, compelling email or in-mail type communications to try to engage talent.
Now, you mentioned a couple of the uses. How are these uses providing either benefit or a great opportunity for folks in the world of, I guess, RPO specifically? That's what we're talking about here. So how is it enabling these efficiencies? I think we can probably infer, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah, well, again, on the kind of the job posting side of the equation, it's giving RPO firms and by extension our clients a more effective use of their sourcing dollar, right? So programmatic has certainly influenced that. When you think about compelling content, right, a compelling job advertisement certainly draws talent in a manner different than, a generic job ad. So you're seeing value just in the content. You take that content and put it in then into a compelling email or in-mail or Indeed kind of reach out. You're getting a different level of return, and where you're getting time savings from a recruiter perspective is they're spending their time editing versus creating from scratch content, right? So it's allowing them to move more rapidly through their day, which is allowing them to touch more talent, allowing them to be more efficient in their overall recruiting and sourcing experience.
Of course, I think we know there can be challenges with AI and risks, and we'll get into a handful. I think first let's talk about the perception of it. How do candidates feel about AI in the recruiting space, at least from what you're hearing? You're obviously on the forefront of tech. And then what about recruiters and hiring managers? How do they feel about this technology being more involved in this space?
Yeah, the talent side, it's been interesting. I've seen some surveys and research that demonstrates that they love it, right? I've seen the exact same type of survey that shows they absolutely hate it. So to be frank, I'm not sure where the truth lies. I would surmise based upon my experience that what you have at play is a combination of job level or job type. You may have some geographic components, socioeconomic components that are tied into that, right? So you may have some subsets of talent that are more comfortable interacting with a machine, whereas other portions of the talent ecosystem would rather have an experience with a real life individual in person, right? So I really think what you're seeing in the difference in those survey results is that dynamic. It's like what population of the talent pool are you surveying and are you interacting with? I think you're going to get varying results. I know that there are RPO firms over the course of time, ourselves included, who have attempted to fully automate the end-to-end process, and it was rejected, generally speaking, by talent. They would accept certain elements of automation, but automation without human touch and intervention was something that, generally speaking, the talent population rejected as a whole. I would say on the recruiting and hiring manager side, you're seeing a fair amount of embrace by the recruiting population because they're seeing it as a means by which they can do more with less, right? So it's being embraced and perceived there. The hiring managers, I'm not so sure they even know that they're interacting with it, to be honest with you, during the course of a recruiting cycle. Hiring manager is concerned typically about, are you finding the talent I need or are you finding it in a timely fashion? They're less concerned with how you're going about doing it. And so I would say, generally speaking, now that's not to say that hiring managers are not interacting with things like, you know, AI-enabled scheduling tools and those types of things. But generally speaking, I would say talent, it's mixed. Recruiters are embracing it. Hiring managers typically are not even sure that they're interacting with it on the talent acquisition side of the house.
What about some of the pitfalls of using AI in the world of RPO? What are they? How serious are they? How seriously should recruiting firms like Yo, and also companies who are working with firms like Yo and DZ Connects be looking into them or be asking these questions?
Yeah, I would say the biggest risk that I have bumped up into again or bumped up against up to this point in time really falls into kind of two categories. The first category would be when you're talking about AI powering some element of candidate matching and candidate ranking. Ensuring that technology is not interjecting bias into the assessment. And there's legislation and conversations happening from regulators around this idea of where does that responsibility lie. And I think some of the initial feedback that I've read coming out of New York in particular has been that burden is going to be on the employer, not on the technology provider that's bringing those solutions to the table. So there's risk around that just from a bias perspective, particularly when you think about protected populations of talent. I would say the other side of that is what I would kind of categorize as data privacy, right? I know in the course of my network and experiences I've had, you think about a recruiter taking a resume of an applicant or of a sourced candidate from the web in the state of California and putting that resume into ChatGPT and asking ChatGPT to generate an updated resume. You've now taken personal information from a candidate and put it into the ether. I think there's a lot of risk, you know, in those types of areas. Now that's an extreme example, but I think it really comes down to what biases, is AI injecting into the process inadvertently? And what does this mean when you start thinking about data privacy for the broader marketplace? I think those are the biggest risks. There's other risks aside of that, but they really fall into that like data privacy bucket, I think.
Is investing in technology like AI, specifically AI, absolutely necessary? One, for firms like DZ Connects and Yo, and two, for those companies that would hire DZ Connects and Yo. I'm sure there may be a different calculation there when it comes to specifically hiring, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, for DZX in particular, it's a full on yes. I mean, we need to be able to bring the technology to the table to be competitive in the marketplace and to bring value to customers throughout the course of our sales and delivery processes. What's been interesting as well, those conversations are really engaging during the course of a sales process and implementation process. How they actually get implemented into an operational program is mixed because you start to then get the customer's legal organization, a cybersecurity organization involved, and it slows some things down or can slow some things down. I will tell you, I've seen reports coming out of SIA where and others that go beyond SIA that shows that only about 16% of AI pilots actually move out of pilot and into production. So think about that. Only only 16 to 18%. That's not a very high success rate. It's typically not moving into production because of cost and a difficult time measuring the return on the investment.
Yeah, that goes so well. My next question is, what is the cost to entry on these AI technologies? I'm sure it varies, but if you're getting a 16% success rate, spending exorbitant amounts of money on this technology may be a big risk that is not worth taking. So how do you kind of factor that in and how do you make that decision?
Yeah, I can tell you that just from our journey on this, our journey has been leading with our partners first, right? And then considering what we do in a proprietary fashion second, because certainly, your tech vendors that are bringing various AI capabilities to the table as a part of their application gives you a different, different return. Typically, you've already got some type of sunk investment cost in those technologies. So the barrier to entry is a little bit lower. That's where we've started. On the proprietary side, again, we have our cybersecurity, our legal organizations. We have a lot of parties at the table talking about what does this mean for us. And we've had some, we've been able to run some pilots and have some successful pilots in the generative AI front. So I think what you'll see from us and others is, we will be licensing the capability, developing the capability. The deployment of the capability will probably be a little bit slower in actuality.
Yeah, and I think doing this slow is not slowly, but, you know, deliberately is important in this. How can companies or how should they be thinking about AI in terms of what policies or practices or safeguards should they put in place to ensure it's being used in the right ways and avoiding, as best they can, some of those risks you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. Bring your legal team into the conversation as soon as possible. How's that sound? You've got to bring other people to the, you just have to. And I'm not going to pretend to, you know, I did not sleep in a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I am not a lawyer, nor am I going to pretend to be one. But I will tell you, proceed with caution. Technology, generally speaking, broad scope, technology has the ability to be used for good or for evil, right? It just can be. And so you got to proceed with caution and you got to ensure you're putting the appropriate policies and procedures and barriers in place to offer you and your customers and your candidates as much protection as possible, given the dynamics, right? So I think just, you got to proceed like you would with any other emerging technology. You got to ask yourself, where can it bring value? What risks does it introduce? And can you mitigate those risks as much as possible?
Yeah. I mean, as a digital transformation expert, I'm sure there's a lot of training that needs to be done in this area that probably isn't being done as much as it should be. I was reading a couple articles last week in the HR space about how a lot of this technology is being deployed without proper training of the teams that are going to be using it, which feels like another risk in itself. So are there ways to best practices maybe to ensure that training is being done the right way or updates being given to teams to ensure that these things are being used appropriately?
Yeah, again, I think that comes down to you got to bring the right partners to the table, right? And not everybody's equipped to do that. I think one of the advantages that we have as Yo DZX is we are a part of a larger enterprise in Day and Zimmerman, and that allows us to make some investments in terms of structure and teams to ensure that we're handling this the right way, right? But this is all about change management and training and then measurement and accountability. So you got to put those mechanisms in place. Like, who have you brought to the table? Ensure that you're caring for the risk and mitigating your risk and appropriately, that you have a good change communication plan, change training plan, and supporting supporting resources beyond implementation, hypercare, and go live to ensure that you are getting what you expected out of the out of not only the application but out of the users of the application.
This may run on that same page, but let's say, or you know, pretend I am a company considering investing in an RPO provider. What sorts of questions or considerations should I be asking of RPO vendors like DZX to ensure they're using AI in the right ways, or you know basically what they're talking about? What questions should I ask?
Yeah, I would say bring partners to the table in your conversation, right? So bring folks from your cybersecurity and IT organization, bring folks from your broader HR organization and your legal organization to the table and ask those questions. How is AI being leveraged? What are you doing to mitigate risk? How are you protecting, you know, if I'm a customer, how are you protecting my data? How are you protecting the data of any applicants or candidates or employees that might be interfacing with your technologies? Start there, in my opinion. It's easy to get caught in talking about the shiny object and the cool, neat thing the shiny object does. And I think there is value in talking about the practicality of what these technologies can bring to the table. But that practicality, void of the appropriate mitigation of risk and data security, is, I would start there personally. I want to start there, right? And I would, as I said, I would bring partners to the table for that conversation. The value of partners, right, is they have a depth of expertise. So when you ask a question and a organization like DZX provides an answer, right, SMEs know how to pick at that answer, and they know what the words mean in a different way. And so take advantage of the subject matter experts within your organization and bring them into the conversation sooner rather than later.
Mike, final question here. Let's get into your personal perspective. What do you see as the future of AI in the world of RPO or in the world of recruiting? Where are we headed? What is something that people aren't thinking about that you think could happen that we need to be aware of or concerned about or excited about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm still trying to formulate an answer to myself or for myself in that regard. I would say this. I think you're going to see firms, whether that's a tech provider or a solution provider, is going to push the envelope, and they're going to stumble, right? And then I think you're going to see the envelope get pushed. I think you're going to see some things stumble in the marketplace, and then I think you're going to see the market correct. And I think then we're going to land at a healthy spot, right? So that's my perception. Now, how that plays itself out, you know, I don't know. I think there's a practical side of that, and then there's this like metaverse style side to that, and my crystal ball is really, really foggy on that.
Really cloudy, yeah.
How close is it to my retirement? Maybe might be the best question.
Mike, any final word you want to leave our listeners with before we go?
AI's it's the new buzzword. Yeah. It's maybe Gen AI specifically is the new buzzword. Mm-hmm. I think when you start peeling some of these things back, what you're gonna find is it's cool technology. Mm-hmm. It's doing some really awesome things. Generative AI in particular is changing the dynamics, because now we're going from advanced automation to content creation. But that can't, in my opinion, that can't be void of an expert looking at what that AI is producing. This is an extreme case, but imagine a world where a developer goes to, you know, a generative AI solution and says, hey, generate code for me that lets my application do this, this, or whatever, right? Code gets generated, and imagine that developer just copies that code and pastes it right into their application. and has no understanding of what that code just did. And imagine a world where there was a script entered in that code that gave that technology access to your network, and now they're in, right? So just it can't be unmanaged, right? Humans have to be involved at this stage of the game because you have a risk of that generative AI producing harmful content. And so I would just be remiss if I didn't mention that. This is, you cannot pursue this and think that you're going to pull people completely out of the process, because by doing so, I think you're injecting more risk than need be into the environment.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Down Solutions. For our listeners who may want to learn more and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, best way to find me is on LinkedIn. You know, look me up, Mike. My last name's a little bit tricky, I'm sure it'll be in print so people can pick it up and find it. But that's the best way to connect me, is either through LinkedIn or going to the Yo DZX website and looking for our leadership team there.
And for anybody who wants to learn more about how AI and RPO works, what the future looks like, DZ Connects recently put together an ebook that we will also link in the episode description. Of course, to hear past and future episodes of this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen in. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review. For Talking Town Solutions, I'm Joe McIntyre. Thanks for listening.